That is the title for the message today, I Reckon. And that's something that you hear quite often from Southerners. But most of the time when we say, I reckon, our meaning is different from how Paul uses it here in this passage and in other places. For example, if somebody comes up to me and says, would you like to go fishing? And I say, well, I reckon so, which is something that people say quite often here in the South. What I mean is, well, I guess or I suppose I'll go fishing. And that's usually the way it's used when we use that terminology. But whenever you study the word reckon, you discover that it actually has several different meanings. It means to determine. It means to judge. It means to count. And as it's used right here and in other places in the Bible, it means to accept as certain. I want you to pay attention to that definition. It means to accept as certain. So in the Bible, when the word reckon is used, it's not a wishy-washy, half-hearted, maybe so, I guess so term. It is a definitive term when it's used in the Word of God. For example, back in Romans chapter 6, this same epistle where Paul says that we are to reckon ourselves dead indeed unto sin. He doesn't mean that we should suppose ourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. What he's doing there is making a declaration and saying that we need to declare and accept as certain, as fact, that we are dead indeed unto sin. And likewise here in Romans chapter 8, verse 18, when he says, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. He's not saying, well, I suppose that's how it is. You know what I'm saying? I guess that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared. What he's doing here in Romans 8:18 is making a declaration. He's affirming and saying that I accept as fact, as certain, no question about it, that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. It's a definitive statement that he's making here in verse 18. With that in mind, what I want to do here in the next few minutes is just give you some truths that I believe we need to reckon. Some things that we need to accept as certain, without question, concerning the sufferings of this present time. It's going to be a message about suffering and the way we need to understand suffering. And I hope that it'll be some help to you. The first thing that I want to say this morning that we need to reckon, something you need to accept as certain concerning the sufferings of this present time, is that they are promised. They are promised. And some of this is going to be review, I understand, but it's important, I think, that we be reminded of these very important basic truths. But in the Word of God, we are guaranteed. The Bible doesn't suggest or hint around. It guarantees us, it assures us that we will suffer. There are many places, in fact, where you have promises given, and we like to focus on what we consider to be those positive promises in the Bible. Like, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Well, praise God, that's in the Bible, amen? I'm glad that's a promise in the Scripture. On down in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to the called according to His purpose. That is a wonderful promise, amen? A wonderful promise that we all like to claim. We are quick to give assent to those positive promises. Lay some of them other kind of promises in the Bible too. And oftentimes we like to steer around them. Think about those positive things, because after all, we just need to think positively. Amen. That's what everybody tells us today. Just think positive. Think positive. Well, in the Bible, folks, there's positive and there's negative, just like on your battery.
Right.
Let me ask you something. Does your battery work if you just have positive? Does it work if you just have negative? For your battery to work, you got to have positive and negative. Amen. You can't just pay attention to the positive promises in the Bible. They're there, thank God for them, and we need to claim those, hold on to them. But understand, there's some other promises in the Scripture that are of a more negative nature, you might say, and you have to understand those promises apply just like the positive promises do. Let me show you some of these in the Bible, just so you'll understand. Look at Philippians chapter 1. I want you to turn there. Don't just look at me, please. If you have a Bible, I want you to turn and look in the Scripture at what we're going to read. I want you to understand that what I'm saying to you is in the Bible. It's in the Scripture. Philippians chapter 1. The sufferings of this present time are promised in the Word of God. There is no such thing as a Christianity without suffering. There's no such thing as that. That is foreign to the Scripture. Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, verse number 29. In Philippians 1, 29, Paul says, "For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for His sake." So according to that, not only am I to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, but it's also given to me to suffer for His sake. That's suffering. Look over at 1 Thessalonians now. I'm going to turn to these as quickly as we can because I want you to see them. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, look at verses 3 and 4. 1 Thessalonians 3, verses 3 and 4. Paul says that no man should be moved by these afflictions. You know, affliction is not really a positive term, is it? When I think of affliction, I think of something that's painful, something that hurts, something that causes grief. That no man should be moved by these afflictions. Notice, for yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. Appointed. According to the Bible, I got two appointments. And I'm going to meet both of them. According to the Bible, I have an appointment with death, right? It is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. The only way I'm going to miss that appointment is if the Lord Jesus Christ shows up first. I'm hoping He does. But I don't know that. And I know that if He doesn't come first, I'm going to meet that appointment just like everybody in here is going to meet that appointment. Every one of us have an appointment with death, but according to what I read here in 1 Thessalonians 3:3, I also have an appointment with affliction. God has determined that I am going to experience affliction. I am appointed thereunto. Just like I'm appointed to die, I'm appointed to affliction. Look at verse 4. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass. And you know, we told you when we were there with you before that we were going to suffer tribulation, and it happened. It's what Paul says. Let me give you just a couple more here. Look back at the book of Acts now. Acts chapter 14. Acts chapter 14. While you're turning to Acts chapter 14, let me remind you that the Lord Jesus Christ said to His disciples, He said in so many words, if they have hated me, then they will hate you. Let me ask you a question. Did they hate the Lord Jesus Christ? You better believe they did. Do people still hate Him now? You better believe they do. With everything in them, there's people in this world right now that hate the Lord Jesus Christ. And friend, if they hate our Master and our Lord, they're going to hate us. That's just a fact. Acts chapter 14. Acts chapter 14. Paul's going back and visiting some people that he had been with before, people that he had witnessed to, no doubt many he had led to Christ. And I want you to notice here in Acts chapter 14, it says in verse 21, "And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, look at this, and that we must, not much doubt there, is there? Must, it's not maybe, and that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. Much tribulation. Now, folks, he's talking to people that he's led to Christ, folks he's trying to help out. And do you see that he felt it necessary to tell those disciples that in their lives they were going to experience much tribulation? He's not holding back this negative news from the people. He's not trying to butter them up or flatter them. He wants them to understand what they need to know so they can be successful as a Christian. And I want you to know this morning, I do not believe any Christian will ever really amount to what they need to amount to if they don't understand and realize this very basic truth that we're talking about right here. You've got to understand that in your life, everything is not going to be rosy all the time. In fact, the majority, I believe, of our existence down here is going to involve some type of suffering of some nature. We have other verses we could look at, but I'm not going to take the time to go there. John 16, 33, Jesus said, "In this world ye shall have tribulation." In this world ye shall have tribulation. 2 Timothy 3:12 that I've quoted many times before. Yea, and all those that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Folks, it's all through the Bible. To deny this, you've got to deny what the Bible says. It is a guaranteed fact, irregardless of what these modern day liberals say and these preachers that want to preach this prosperity gospel all the time, this feel good religion. It is true whether they want to preach it or will preach it or not. We will suffer in this life. That's just the way it is. Promised in the Word of God. This is why Simon Peter says on over in 1 Peter chapter 4 that we're not to think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try us as though some strange thing happened to us. I see Christians sometimes and they go through a hardship and it's like, well, I just don't understand. I don't know why this bad stuff's happening. And I get it, but they act like something is happening that's out of the ordinary. Something is strange. Something is weird. This shouldn't be happening. When Peter says, don't think it's strange. Just understand that's the way it's going to be. You will suffer. It's not out of the ordinary. It's ordinary. I tell you what's not normal, if you want to just be biblical about it, what's not normal is for somebody to go along and not suffer. That's what's not normal. The normal thing, according to Scripture, is for us to have suffering. That's just the way it is. You got to be aware of this. If you forget this fact, or if you allow somebody to deceive you to where you no longer believe this fact, I'm telling you, you're not going to go very far in your spiritual life. It's going to call so many other things into question that there's no possible way you can move forward the way you need to move forward. For example, if you don't understand this simple thing that I'm talking about right here, this basic truth, you know one thing it will cause you to do? It'll cause you to doubt your salvation. I don't know the times I've talked to people who say, well, there's no way I could really be saved because of all this bad stuff that's going on in my life. They think, I can't be saved. And the reason they think that way is because they don't understand this simple truth, because in reality, it's just the opposite of the way they're thinking. They're thinking, I can't be saved because I'm having hard times, when in reality, they ought to gain assurance of their salvation. And they would gain assurance if they understood what we're talking about right here. That when you get saved, generally speaking, the suffering ramps up in your life. That's the way it is. Why is that? Why does it ramp up? Well, before you get saved, do you really have anything to do with Jesus? You don't have much to do with him before you get saved, do you? You're not living for the Lord. You're not associating yourself with him. But I'm telling you right now, you can take it to the bank, friend. You get saved, you line up with Jesus Christ and this Bible right here, and you start living godly in this present evil world, I promise you there'll be more suffering in your life. I promise you. It's going to ramp up. It'll cause you to doubt your salvation. It'll cause you to think other crazy things too. If you don't understand this, like people will think, well, I'm being punished for some sin. because something bad's happening in my life. And I do believe that happens, okay. But how many of you understand that every time something bad happens, it's not punishment for sin? That's not how it is. But if you don't understand this, you'll think that, well, God's punishing me. God's angry with me. God's mad with me. God doesn't care about me. God doesn't love me. You'll begin to question all sorts of things if you don't understand this simple truth right here. And as long as you don't have assurance of your salvation, as long as you think every moment of your existence that you're having a hard time, that God's mad with you and God doesn't love you, there's no way you can move forward like you need to. You've got to understand that when it comes to the sufferings of this present time, they're promised. If you don't understand anything else I say, please leave here today. This ain't real positive, but please leave here today and understand you will suffer. You will suffer. But here's the second thing. I need to move on. Not only do we need to reckon that they are promised, but we need to reckon that the sufferings of this present time are plural. They're plural. Look at what Paul says. We're in Romans 8 again. We're going to spend the rest of our time, pretty much the rest of our time right here, Romans 8, 18. He says, "For I reckon that the sufferings," y'all see that? It's a plural word. Sufferings with an S on the end of it. I'm not real sharp in English, but I do know that when it's got an S on the end of it, it's plural. I know that much. Sufferings. You need to reckon, accept as certain that the sufferings of this present time are plural. They're plural at least for two reasons. One, because they're repeated. You don't just suffer one time in life and that's it. Suffering comes again and again and again and again. In fact, Peter talks about them as seasons of temptations. And one thing the Bible makes clear back in the book of Genesis is that the seasons of the year are going to be here as long as this earth stands. So if suffering is a season, guess what? It's going to keep showing up in your life. Now that doesn't mean you're going to suffer all the time during your life. You're going to go through periods in your life, seasons in your life where you're on the mountain and everything's wonderful and great. Enjoy it when you're there. And I mean that. Enjoy it. Just soak it up. All the sun, everything that's going on good. Enjoy it while you're there. But understand, the season's going to change somewhere. And once again, that season of suffering is going to come your way. You're not going to spend every waking moment of your Christian life on the mountaintop, no matter how spiritual you are. The seasons are going to change. Suffering's going to come back around somewhere. They're repeated. I tell you another reason why they're plural. They're plural because you experience different kinds of suffering. We don't have just one particular kind. There's different kinds of sufferings that we experience. Like sometimes we suffer because we're reproached for the cause of Christ. Talked about it a little earlier. Just because you associate yourself with Him. You yoke yourself up with the Lord Jesus Christ. You become His follower. You're committed to Him. You try to obey Him, to honor Him, to love Him, to worship Him. You make Him the priority of your life, and because of that, you're reproached by people. Sometimes that's why we suffer. We're just reproached. We're shamed, humiliated by people because of our association with Jesus Christ. And I do want to show you this. I want you to hold your place right here. I want you to go back with me for just a moment to the book of Acts, and I want to show you how you ought to feel about that. Whenever somebody's mocking you, when they're making light of you, they're ridiculing you, calling you names, whatever it is they're doing that is causing reproach, and it happens, whatever it is, this is how you ought to feel about it. Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5. Somebody doesn't want to be your friend anymore, doesn't want to hang out with you. And listen, in all seriousness, folks, and I'm not trying to minimize it, but considering what some Christians in the past have had to go through and considering what some Christians in this world are going through right now, what we have to deal with really isn't anything. You know, just because somebody cusses me, somebody slams a door in my face. Somebody shoots me a bird, cusses me out, you know. I don't want to be your friend no more. You're a religious nut. Well, whoop-dee-doo. I mean, in the grand thing, grand scheme of it, what does that matter when you got Christians in the past that were burned at the stake for loving the Lord Jesus Christ? When you got Christians in this world right now that are being threatened every day and still dying right now because of their association with Jesus Christ, I'm going to whine a little bit because somebody don't like me anymore. I ought to be ashamed of that. That's what I'll be ashamed of. But whenever we are reproached, however it is, whatever it is, this is how I ought to feel about it. Acts chapter 5, verse 40. Acts 5:40. And to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them. When was the last time somebody beat you? When was the last time somebody beat me? I'm talking about for the cause of Christ. Just for getting in trouble, I have some memories of that growing up. Was beaten a few times. But I'm talking about for the cause of Christ. These are apostles that are beaten. It says they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go, and they departed from the presence of the council, moping and whining and bellyaching. Woe is me. Look what a horrible lot I've been dealt. No. The Bible says they departed rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. How should you feel when you're reproached, when that's your type of suffering? You ought to just rejoice that you got to get in on it. That's what the Bible says. So sometimes it's because we're reproached. Other times our suffering comes in the form of a trial, a fiery trial like the Bible talks about, a temptation. James says, count it all joy when, not if, but when you fall into diverse temptations. Sometimes it's going to be a temptation. Sometimes it is chastisement because we've done something wrong. Sometimes it's simply a reaping for something we've done. Doesn't the Bible say, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap? Sometimes I suffer simply because I planted some bad seed. I can blame it on whoever I want to, but it's my fault. I planted the garden, amen. At the end of the day, you planting your garden. Now you can say, well, he made me do it, and she made me do it, and the devil made me do it, but you the one dropping the seed in the ground, friend. And there will be a reaping somewhere along the line. So sometimes our suffering's just a matter of us reaping what we've sown. Sometimes our suffering is just simply the result of living in a sin-cursed world in a corruptible body. It's just that way. Everything down here on this earth is affected in some way by sin. Everything. Everything around us is dying. Everything is decaying. Yes, every spring we get to see some new life, right? But you know what happens to that new life before the year's out? Every bit of it dies. We're all dying, right? We're all slowly decaying, every last one of us. Nothing lasts forever down here. The only eternal thing, perfect thing that exists on this planet is this book I'm preaching out of this morning. Everything else has a death wish on it, friend. Everything. That's why nothing lasts. That's why your car breaks down. That's why things around your house tear up. Brother Dennis and them had their air conditioner go out this week. Why? They being punished? No, things just happen, friend. You just going to suffer because you live down here sometimes. The reason why you get sick. Now sometimes, I agree, biblically, sometimes you get sick for sin. I realize that. But not every time. Sometimes you get sick just because of the body you live in. This isn't a perfect body. It's subject to germs and disease and sickness of all kinds. The reason why one day I'm going to meet that appointment with death is because of this body I live in. Paul calls this thing a body of death. That's what he calls it. And that's what it is. So you're just going to have hard times. The most spiritual people in the world get sick and die. People that love God with all their heart get sick and die. Sometimes suffering is just simply the result of where we live. It's promised. It's plural. Let me give you a third one here. Got to move on quickly. Here's a third thing. And to me, these last two is where the good news. Y'all want some positive? I gave you some negative. I'm going to give you some positive preaching now. Y'all like that? For those of you that love the positive preaching, this is for you. Present. Third thing, they're present. Paul says in Romans 8:18, when we started out, he says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared." This present time. What is this present time? Did he mean just that time that he was living in? No. This present time is like where he says this present evil world. This present time is this time that we live on this earth down here. This time that us human beings live on this globe down here, this thing we call earth, that's this present time. So it's the present time, whether you're back in Paul's day or you're living in our day or if you were living 100 years from right now, it's this present time that we exist on this earth. And this right here ought to be encouraging. He says, "I reckon that the sufferings of this present time." How many of you understand this morning that one day you're going somewhere where there is no more suffering? Isn't it good to know that the suffering is just for this present time? If you're saved, I'm talking about. Now, people that are lost, the old expression, out of the frying pan and into the fire. Let me tell you something. I don't know your heart, but if you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, whatever you're going through now is nothing. What you're going to face if you die without him. But those of us that know Jesus Christ, we get our suffering now. This present time, throughout our life, we get it. But one day, either when Jesus comes back or we draw our last breath, all that stuff's behind us, friend. We going somewhere where nothing else tears up. Nothing else breaks down. I don't ever get sick. You don't get sick. We don't get reproach. There's no more trials, no more temptations, no more tribulation, no more persecution. It's all a thing of the past. Isn't that good news? That's good news. What I'm saying to you is just hang on. Whatever you're in now, and some of you I know are going through some hard times. You are. Just hang on. Just keep on being faithful. Hang on. Because one day it's going to all be over. All the suffering is going to be over. Here's the last thing that I want to say. They're promised. We need to reckon that they're promised, reckon that they're plural, reckon that they're present. Last of all, I want to say we need to reckon that they pale. They pale. That's just so I could be alliterative. That's the only reason I use that word. Paul says in verse 18, they're not worthy. They're not worthy. This stuff we go through, and look here, it's very real. And it's very rough, especially if you're in it. You know, when we're in that season where everything's going good, we don't really think too much about what other people are going through. But the fact of the matter is, whether I'm suffering right now or not, somebody is. Somebody's in that season. It's like that major and minor surgery type thing. It's always major if it's on me. I don't care if they just cutting out a hangnail, brother. If I got to go under the knife, that's a major surgery for me. And we look at what other people are going through in our times of peace and tranquility, and we think, well, they ought not be griping about it. That ain't no big deal. Get you some of it.
Yeah.
And then we'll listen to you gripe and bellyache. Okay? Because that's how it is. It's rough when it's us, amen? But it's not so bad when it's somebody else. These things are very real. They're very rough. But one day we're going to experience a glory that far exceeds any suffering that we ever experienced down here. So much so Paul says they're not worthy to be compared. Don't even bother. Don't even waste your time. They're not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. And you study that glory out in the Bible, that glory is always connected to our glorified Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know why we got glory in our future? Because we got a glorified Savior in our future. That's why we're going to get, as the Bible says, to be a partaker of his glory. And part, not all of it, but part of partaking in his glory is him transforming this vile body and fashioning it like unto his glorious body. That's a context right here. Look at it real quick. I'm just about done. Romans 8. Right after he says that about the glory in verse 18, if you start reading in verse 19 and come on down, you see that he starts talking about what he calls the redemption of the body, verse 23. That's a reference to when Jesus comes back to get this body that he already owns, that he's already bought and paid for, and he changes this thing. And look at what he calls that in verse 21. He says, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption. That's what we're in now. In this body, I'm in the bondage of corruption. But look at this. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Part of that glory that's going to be revealed is I'm going to get a brand new glorified body just like him. Part of it. That's something you ought to reckon. You ought to reckon. You may be going through some tough times right now. You probably are. The good news is that's normal. It's normal. And the good news is that it's not going to last forever. One day, you're going to be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Let's bow our heads together for prayer. Father, thank you again for this day. Thank you for letting us be here. Thank you for your word, for the truth. And I pray, Lord, that you would take what has been said and you'd use it to minister, to help people. Do with it what only you can do. And we'll thank you for it in Christ's name. Amen.